And this is David Duke, and this is the David Duke Internet Web Radio Broadcast, broadcasting to the entire world with news and information of vital importance to Europeans and people of European descent, wherever they may dwell upon the earth. And certainly, this broadcast and the information contained in it is important for all people of the world, not just Europeans, because Jewish supremacism, the extremism that you see exercised in Israel, is not just about Israel. It's not just about the Middle East. It's not just about controlling the West Bank or controlling the greater Middle East. It's about truly controlling the world. That may sound quite way out to a lot of you listening for the first time, but when you start to investigate Jewish supremacism and its messianic roots, its radical extremist roots, they really believe that they have some sort of divine right to be the, quote, chosen people, which is another good way of saying, quote, master race. They literally have worked to organize control over other nations of the world, and they demand to do that kind of control. I'll give an example. The university where I lecture at, the university where I achieved my doctorate, is the largest university of Ukraine. It is called MOP for short, and it's an entire system that has about 50,000 students. It's the largest university in Ukraine, one of the most prestigious. In fact, most of the Ukrainian officials in the diplomatic corps and elsewhere are educated at this university. It is accredited. It has the top accreditation in the nation of Ukraine. And, of course, Eastern Europe and the former Soviet Union have always been famous for their quite good educational institutions. And it has the UNESCO seal as being a educational, you know, milestone, actually, an educational bulwark in Eastern Europe. It has trained many people from around the world. Well, the head of my university is a gentleman by the name of Georgiev Shokin. Mr. Shokin, or Dr. Shokin, I should say, is an unabashed anti-Zionist. He believes that Zionism poses a threat to not only the Palestinian people, but to the people of the world. That's his opinion. And he expresses that opinion, and he documents that opinion in his writings and also in the writings of many scholars that he has at the university. Well, that's unacceptable. That's unacceptable to Israel. It's unacceptable to the Jewish supremacists. So they are now demanding that Ukraine close down its largest university unless it teaches what the Jewish extremists want it to teach. I got this article from the Union of Councils of Jews in the former Soviet Union, and it's revealed an effort to shut down Ukraine's largest university for criticizing Jewish extremism in the state of Israel. It's one more example of an unbridled chutzpah. The Israeli government and international Zionists have demanded that the largest and most respected university in Ukraine be prohibited from publishing or teaching points of view that are critical of Israel and Jewish extremism. In fact, Israel's demanded that the whole university be shut down if it dares to continue to expose Jewish extremism in the Israeli state. Israel, of course, is a racial supremacist apartheid state led by extremists such as Ariel Sharon, a criminal who even the Israeli Kahan Commission found responsible for the massacre of over 1,000 men, women, and children at Sabra and Shatila in Lebanon. Israeli immigration is limited almost entirely to those of Jewish descent, religious or not. You can be a non-religious Jew. So it's not religion that bases their immigration, but on bloodline. It forbids the intermarriage of Jews and non-Jews legally. It's not recognized by the Israeli state, and it does not even permit the marriage of its priest class, the Kohanim, to a person of the Jewish religion who is a single drop of non-Jewish blood. It segregates non-Jews in housing, settlements, schools, whole villages, and towns. It oppresses 3 million Palestinians on the West Bank, and as many major religious and educational institutions that teach abject hatred, of Gentiles, Christians, Muslims, and especially the Palestinian and Arab people. So there you go. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. We are definitely affected by Zionism. Here's a Jewish state trying to tell Ukraine that it must close down a university if it has and offers opinions that are critical of Zionism. Well, that makes sense, ladies and gentlemen, because Zionism is so easily exposed. They have to shut down freedom of speech because it's so easy to expose this supremacist doctrine that they're preaching. I want to talk today a little bit about Patrick Buchanan and a recent editorial he wrote, which I think is important to us. And also, I'm going to mention some issues about my trip to Syria, which I think are very important. I've done some posting in stormfront.org. And if you want to post on during this program and ask me questions and comment, you can go to stormfront.org, the town hall section, and do that. You can also send me an email directly at info44@daviduke.com. This is a live show going all over the world. That's info44@daviduke.com. Live show. Fantastic technology we have today. Patrick Buchanan wrote a recent editorial called Putin versus the Neo-Comintern. And the Comintern, of course, is a term that describes what happened in Russia. Let me quote from Patrick Buchanan's article so you get an idea of what I'm talking about here. And it's kind of interesting revelation in the article. Quote, the Comintern, or Communist International, also known as the Third International, was the 1919 creation of Vladimir Lenin. Its declared purpose was fight by all available means, including armed force, for the overthrow of the international bourgeoisie and for the creation of an international Soviet republic. Fomenting the communist revolution worldwide was, in brief, the Comintern's mission. And he goes on, he talks about the fact that Trotsky felt that Lenin had betrayed the Comintern because they went to more of a national situation in Russia. And he says, quote, for this act of heresy, Trotsky, the champion of permanent revolution, excommunicated Stalin as a reformist and was himself rewarded in 1940 with an axe in the head, courtesy of Stalinist assassin Raymond Mercator. But Trotskyism did not die with Leon Trotsky. It mutated and is today the taproot of that neoconservatism that calls for permanent revolution to advance not global communism, but global democracy. Today, this ideology is embedded in the party of Ronald Reagan and the Bush administration, and neoconservatives are using tax dollars to create and operate their own neo-Comintern. The National Endowment for Democracy, NED, which pumps out tens of millions of dollars to promote democracy abroad, is its pivotal agency. For 20 years, it has been headed by Carl Gershman, who broke from the Socialist Party to organize Social Democrats USA, which rallied to the candidacy of Liberal Democratic Senator Scoop Jackson, whose staff was a nesting ground of neocons from Richard Perle to Frank Gaffney and Elliot Abrams. None of these people, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, were conservatives. Most of them were followers of these Trotskyites from the University of Chicago and many other places in the United States. They were almost all Jewish. And it's just amazing that they have now seized the direction and control of the Bush administration, the Republican Party, and they've been very influential in opening the gates of immigration to this country and also, of course, our disastrous policy in the Middle East, which is endangering and damaging every American every day, as well as our brave young lads and ladies who are in that theater of war and are being wounded at a horrific rate today. In fact, the wounding rate is almost double or triple that what it was last year. We're keeping more alive, but there's so many hundreds, thousands, ladies and gentlemen. They're going to come back to America without a leg or an arm or terribly disfigured, burned, emasculated, crippled. It's a tragedy. It's a huge tragedy for this country. It is a 9/11, but it's a 9/11. I wouldn't say of our own making, but it was a 9/11 made by an alien force, just as those hijackers were an alien force, a non-American force. It was made and by the Jewish neocons, these people who are loyal to Israel over that of the United States of America, and put the interest of Israel and sent our boys into battle and into harm's way for a lie. That's the most un-American thing, the most unpatriotic thing, the most evil thing that I can imagine, that a president or an administration or a government would do, send their boys and girls today even into war, into battle for a lie, at risk of life and limb. And it's also something that damages all their families as well, of course, ladies and gentlemen. Well, I make a little commentary on my website, davidduke.com. You're welcome to go to it and take a look. But I do make a commentary on this, and let me share that with you right now. And I basically approach something that needs to be approached here. Patrick Buchanan, in his latest article, goes right up to the door on Jewish supremacism, but dares not open it all the way. Perhaps it is because that if he began to tell the truth that I speak daily, the threat of Jewish supremacism to the American nation, he might indeed be treated like I'm treated. For if he did, there goes his TV programs, book deals, big speaking engagements, and the rest of the respect left for him held by many members of the Republican establishment and even the media establishment. In this article, Buchanan points out that the Trotskyites are the modern-day neocons. He doesn't explain that the neocon movement is an almost wholly Jewish apparatus that puts their perceived Jewish interests and Israel's interests over that of the United States of America. But this, it surely clearly does. In fact, I suggest you read Kevin McDonald's article on this website about that same issue that will give you a great deal of enlightenment on the subject. His article is Neoconservatism as a Jewish Movement, and it is thoroughly a Jewish movement inside and out for a Jewish objective and Jewish strategic advantage. The typical conservative must believe he's living in a nightmare when he discovers that the Jews who have control over the conservative movement have distinctly communist roots, that their icon is not Stalin, the man who pulled their chestnuts out of the fire in World War II, but Trotsky, a.k.a. Lev Bronstein. Buchanan names the neocon head of the National Endowment for Democracy that works to thwart conservative and nationalist movements in Russia, Eastern Europe, and elsewhere around the world. His name is Carl Gershman, who went from the Socialist Party Inner Circle to Social Democrats USA, and now to the label of a conservative, quote, neocon. Now, Buchanan, in his piece, doesn't mention the fact that Gershman not only has a record of pro-communism, Gershman is 100% loyal to Israel over the USA and is an extreme Jewish supremacist. With the Jewish supremacist takeover of certain sectors of America, and the nationalist and conservative revolution that's happened in Russia under Putin, really a change there where they've gotten rid of their communist dictatorship, America has now switched roles with Russia and become the social communist world Comintern. And the Russians, well, they're in the crosshairs now, because they're not involved in this Trotskyite or communist apparatus any longer. Strange how the world turns. Now the Russians are in the crosshairs. God save them. I figured I would fill you in on the rest of the story that Patrick Buchanan couldn't or wouldn't tell. And so I have that for you on my website. And you can also have a link there to the Buchanan article. It's a worthwhile article, but again, he opens the door on the Jewish neocon problem, but doesn't complete it. Now, I want to go to Stormfront, the town hall section, and I want to share with you a couple things. Well, first of all, let me give it a little refresh here. And there's a couple of very interesting things I want to share with you, including a couple posts. First off, I want to share to you another commentary of mine about Syrian trip and how impactful I think this trip is going to be for our cause. And it's so important, I think, that, and I have dealt, you know, there's been some criticism. It hasn't been the vast majority, but there's been some criticism of the trip. And I think it's so important that people understand what I was doing and what's going on here, that I'm spending this time to make sure we understand, because I think the movement has got to have a very deep understanding of this whole situation. So here's my post and my discussion of this. To my good friends, I still don't get the criticism from a few quarters. How does it hurt us to spread the truth about Jewish supremacism to the rest of the world? That's all I did. And boy, I will continue to do it. I repeat, anything that increases the world consensus against Jewish supremacism is very good for us. Let me tell you why I think the Jewish-dominated news media suppressed the story, which, by the way, may be made to order for them in some ways. They hate Syria, they hate me, but it's a great chance for them. I think it's because they know the Muslim world will react to criticism of me by the Jewish press, mainstream press, as even a better endorsement. And the last thing the Jewish supremacists want is the Muslims around the world getting a fundamental understanding of the Jewish threat, as my books and my talks provide for them. But folks, I don't think the Jewish supremacists can stop that now. For instance, yesterday, the top Arabic website in the world with offices in 10 countries told me that they're going to now regularly post my important articles. Wow. You can even see a link on the websites. Go to Stormfront and you can find the link and see some of the articles they're beginning to post. They're powerful articles going to the heart and the root of the Jewish supremacist problem. Folks, I repeat, think about the impact on our own people if major leaders all over the world start repeating time and again about the Jewish supremacist threat on a world basis to all peoples. If they talk about how they destroy the heritage and stability of every nation, how they're the enemy of every group, Europeans, Americans, Australians, Arabs, Chinese, Japanese, Iranians, Pakistanis, Indians, Chileans, etc. My book, Jewish Supremacism, teaches all these things, as well as the ethnic nature of governments and politics. My Awakening does even more. It spreads our world view. That, too, is being praised, circulated, and translated into Arabic and a half dozen other languages. Plus, my friends, it all diffuses back to our people in this global economy and media. Instead of always talking about the damage Zionism does to Palestinians and Arabs, how much more effective for them if they begin to use their spokesmen and resources to talk about how Zionism and Jewish supremacism damages America, Europe, the world? When they do that, are we not helped? We must wake up our people, and wake up our people by any means at our disposal. I made no alliances, made clear I oppose immigration and support the right of all nations, including our own, to preserve their heritage in every aspect. I simply made the opening foray to over a billion people with the truth, the more complete truth on the Jewish threat. Nothing I did makes us more vulnerable to immigration. It simply will help focus the world's attention on the great threat to the world, and of course, the great threat to us, Jewish supremacism. You know, I thought by now I would not have to lecture any of our people on why Western man is in the acute danger he is in. I am not obsessed, as one person said, with Jews. But I know who our most dangerous enemy is. I know the driving force behind the destruction of Western mankind. There is no survival of our people, no liberation, no revolution of life for our people, no journey to the stars and beyond if we do not defeat the Jewish supremacists. Anything that increases and spreads knowledge about this nefarious world-dominating power is good, very good. I put myself, my safety, my future, my life, my freedom on the line to do this. And you armchair commandos who want to be critical, go ahead. but this time you're dead wrong. And it's this kind of thinking that has brought us to the precipice in the first place. Our granddads and fathers were not willing to be bold enough to name and confront and expose the real enemy of European mankind. The ultimate enemy is right now, as I write these words, genociding our people with self-hate propaganda and lies about everything of importance to us. Feminism, homosexuality, pornography, and the resulting sterilizing of millions by venereal disease, by the way, in the Western world, immigration, intermarriage. They're already genociding tens of millions of our people in so many ways just by stopping the birth rate. And they did kill, literally, tens of millions of our kind in Eastern Europe under Bolshevism. And they were the driving force behind that terrible war, not the good war, but the terrible war that took 64 million of us. They have cast into white slavery and abject degradation millions of the angels of our race in the white slave trade. They're the ones who keep us from protecting our borders or protecting our children from their soulless culture. They're the ones who keep us from even understanding why we should protect our borders, protect our culture, and protect our heritage. They are the ones who are killing our boys and all the anti-Zionist people of the Mideast in a bloodbath for Israel. They are the ones who are presiding over the genocide of our people. If you want to get your shotgun, buddy, and hole up somewhere in the Ozarks or somewhere and say, "Yep, Mr. Duke, we can do this by ourselves," they'll just come get you with their next generation bunker buster. This is not a local problem, southern problem, North American problem, European problem. It's a world problem. And we need every convergent ideological and media attack against these mass murderers, because that's exactly what they are. Frankly, we don't need Northwest migration. We need to go on the offensive to take back the hearts, minds, spirits, neighborhoods, states, and nations of our people. Let's get the whole world talking, not just about the evil they're doing to the Palestinians. Let's get them talking about the evil the oligarchs have done in stealing 65% of the Russian nation. That's right, 65% of the wealth of the Russian nation. And the Russian children who, by the millions, suffer malnutrition and other losses because of this greatest threat, this greatest theft in the history of the world. Let's get the world talking about their running of the worst organized crime ring in the world, the so-called Russian Mafia, which is, again, one more media lie. The Organistria, the Red Mafia, the Jewish Mafia, that is the greatest threat of organized crime on the planet right now. Let's get the world understanding how they will destroy all freedom in their new world order, and that globalism itself is nothing but Jewish supremacism over the entire world. Let's get the whole world talking about the battle for revisionism and free speech, about the locking up of anti-Zionists in Europe for speaking against Jewish extremism and lies, and even today for simply speaking for free speech for those who counter the arguments of Zionism. Let's turn the United Nations into not just their enemy concerning Israel and Palestine, but into a huge body that once enlightened, will condemn the Holocaust industry, will condemn all the evil programs of their enemy, our enemy, the world's enemy. Let's get everybody around the world knowing and talking about my book and the things that are in my book, as you know. In Jewish supremacism, I make a spirited defense of Western art, culture, science, heritage from the attack of the supremacists. And I have a whole chapter, out of only a few, a whole chapter devoted to the threats of immigration to Europe. And truly, as I said, those kinds of policies threaten every nation. And Arab Muslim nation would be threatened by massive Christian European immigration to their country to change their traditions and values, and they would resist that. And Europeans certainly had the same right, the fundamental human right to resist. Let's get everybody knowing and talking about the things in my book. All this has already started because of this trip in Syria. My book is now in two editions, pirated, not even legal. That's how people, how much they want it. And a formal edition is going to be coming out, and it's going to be endorsed by practically every major opinion leader, icon in the country, and other countries of Arabia. You know, this is a turning point, ladies and gentlemen. This is an incredible opportunity that we have to spread the truth about the threat of international Zionism. It will weaken international Zionism. I promise you, it's going to make a tremendous impact. If the rest of the world, well, let's put it this way. I believe this will spread to the entire Muslim world, these ideas. Remember, the Jewish supremacists don't control the media in most of those countries, as they control it in the United States and Britain and a number of other, have a tremendous influence in other nations. The truth unleashed there will travel faster and further than you can imagine. If the rest of the world comes to the truth about Jewish supremacism, even before our own people do, it still cannot help but bring that truth to us as well. Now, don't get the idea for a minute that I'm not doing everything I can to bring the truth to our own people. I'm in Eastern Europe, Western Europe, and the USA, constantly working to bring my message to our people. This website, this program right now is doing that. I'm doing that at this very minute. Just tell me, if you would, one person on this planet right now that's speaking to more of our people, being read by more of our people for this cause. But my dear friends, in this sacred cause for our heritage and freedom, again, understand there can be no revolution, no victory, no survival, no freedom until the Jewish supremacists are deposed. They are worldwide, and they'll not be defeated unless they are opposed worldwide. I don't have time to make many comments like this. I ask my friends to simply take and report this writing and your own comments to criticisms that I can't seem to understand, for those who can't seem to understand what I'm saying. They need to read it again and again and maybe let it sink in, and maybe then they'll see the light. I don't object to people making criticisms of me. That's what forums are for, and that takes place. But I hope people will really begin to get it in our cause. I would not spend so much time in educating our people on this issue if I didn't think it was so vitally important. You know, the Jewish media mentality seeps into all of us. Sometimes I catch it influencing me on some point or another before I've thought about it deeply. The media right now has made it okay for us to be against the Syrians, the Iranians, the Palestinians, the Iraqis, etc., etc., etc. You know, it's true that they're not us, that they have a different culture than us, a different heritage. Many of them, however, I must tell you, among them, there are many of us, even among them. But they're not exactly us. They're not our culture. They're not our faith. They're not necessarily our DNA. But they also are not the ones destroying us either. Anyway, we can help them weaken the Jewish supremacists. And when that occurs, it helps us as much or even more than it helps them. That's my commentary, and I'm going to take a couple posts on Stormfront and maybe a couple emails. Again, info44@daviduke.com is our email address, and I'm looking forward to hearing you and getting your comments. This is from Kevin. He says, "Quite an honor to speak to you. I liked your commentary. A quick question. I know you're a busy man, so please answer when you have the time. A lot over the years has been said about Viacom. For those people who don't know who Viacom is, it's a company that took over MTV and VH1 some years ago. You know much about Viacom from seeing the filth and material put out on MTV and VH1. I'm guessing Viacom is owned by Jews. I never knew how powerful Viacom was until I started reading about them on other websites. It seems they have an ulterior motive. Could you tell me who owns Viacom? Well, that question was answered by another poster, Albion. He says, quote, here's the answer, and this is what I know, but I'll let Kevin answer that question. Viacom, number three in the list with 2003 revenues of just over $26.5 billion, is a Viacom company headed by Sumner Redstone, born Murray Rothstein, a Jew. Melvin A. Camazon, another Jew, was number two at Viacom until June 2004, holding the positions of president and chief operating officer. Karmazin remains a large Viacom shareholder. Replacing Karmazin, or Karmazin, I don't know how to pronounce his name. All I know is not a name like the guys down my street. As co-presidents and as COOs are Jews, Leslie Moonves and Tom Freston. We have been unable to confirm Freston's Jewish ancestry. He has done work for Jewish organizations involved in the garment trade, so he's not necessarily a Jew. A heavily Jewish industry importing clothing from the Third World into the U.S. in the 1970s. Well, there's your answer. And of course, Viacom and MTV, I think, is a very deadly thing. And, you know, again, we're going right back to the world problem again. Viacom, MTV is deadly for us. How do the Jewish neocons want to overcome the Middle East and destroy Arab resistance to Israel and Israel's plans for hegemony over the entire region? They said it themselves, Wolfowitz and Pearl and the rest of them, MTV. They believe they're going to weaken their spirit and their heritage, and that's how they're eventually going to overcome them, MTV, believe it or not. So it's not just the Europeans that have that problem. This is from Traven. He says, good morning, Dr. Duke. I also have a quick question concerning the above post. We all know that Jews tend to be very ethnocentric, but do the media giants and government occupiers actually know each other? Is there some sort of Jewish secret handshake or what? How do they work together? P.S. Speaking in Syria was a definite plus. I understand your action, and thanks a million. Good job. They really responded well to you. Traven, here's the situation. It's not... And I think that our cause is hurt by suggesting that it's some sort of a clandestine, earlocked, candlelit, dark rooms and ceremonies kind of conspiracy against us, because I think that sounds incredulous to most people. And I don't think that's how they do it. They don't do it in candlelit rooms. They do it in boardrooms, like the Council of Jewish Organizations, Jewish Presidents, which represents 122 of the major organizations, and they formulate a policy on almost every issue, so they act in unison. A fellow Jew knows who is a fellow Jew. They just about, in fact, they do it almost automatically. I had one Jewish individual tell me that they knew it by radar, practically, that they could just tell who was a fellow Jew. They're tuned in to that kind of issue, and they know what the interests of Jews are. Now, that doesn't mean every Jew is on board, every Jew is part of a conspiracy. That's definitely not true. But Jews tend to help other Jews. They're taught to do so from birth. They're taught about their persecutions at the hands of Gentiles. They're taught about the Holocaust. They're taught about, you know, valiant little Israel. And when they get a few members on a board or some sort of thing of power and they have to get another member on, the Jews will tend to, almost always, in fact, not just tend, but most likely, support another Jew in having another powerful position on that board, or having that board take a position that in some way helps the Jewish community, or another Jew that maybe has a business arrangement. I talk about this at length in Jewish Supremacism, and I suggest that you read that again, and you can see how they work. It's not some sort of deep clandestine conspiracy. It's kind of wide out in the open. All you can do is look and see it. That's why Jewish supremacism is so powerful. I quote major mainstream sources, and all I really do for people on that issue is connect the dots. And once the dots are connected, almost anybody can see what's going on. It's just a simple tribalism where they support each other in pursuit of what they consider to be their strategic objectives, their strategic interests in so many different ways. Okay, here's a couple of emails. This is one. This is from a guy. He says, "The clash of civilizations can be avoided." He gives me a quotation from Jeff DeMorvey. But first he says, David, congratulations on your trip to Syria. It was a brilliant move. To take it a step further, we need a joint manifesto between white nationalists in the West and responsible leaders in the Middle East who genuinely want peace. Then when our madcap Zionist nuts escalate the war and weapons of mass destruction are about to be used by both sides, the peace plan could be invoked as the only way out. Well, that's an interesting idea and certainly a thought. He says we could give it some names like Middle Eastern Western Accords. It could include such points as a complete U.S. military pull-off in the region, a cutoff of aid to Israel until they grant Palestinian state on the whole of the West Bank with no taking of territory, and a surrender of their weapons of mass destruction. And the Islamic world would agree to help repatriate their people from Europe and North America. Our side would agree to out, and also they could say, I would add to that, that they could agree at that point, once Israel is defanged, and once Israel is not a threat, to make sure that they also, as Israel would have, inspections where they would not have nuclear weapons. So Europe could not be threatened by either nuclear weapons of either the Islamic world or the Israeli world. Our side would agree to outlaw Zionist organizations in the West, and they would outlaw their groups that promote jihad, or the conquest of the West. If the accords are well-crafted, their circulation would have enormous educational value. It's an interesting proposal. You know, we don't have to outlaw Jewish groups, but I just think it makes sense for our government and for our media. I think that American media and Canadian media and English media and French media should be, you know, run by people of that own country. I think that media is a responsibility. I think that media is a more powerful position than any elected individual, and I think that we have to make sure that media is representative of the people of that country and not some alien or foreign power. I think that's absolutely essential, and I think if we don't have that, you know, we don't have freedom. So, okay. That's about it, ladies and gentlemen. I will go right back to the storm front. I think I've gone way over time again, as I always do. I've enjoyed being with you. I hope that you read my posts on stormfront.org and my posts, obviously my articles on davidduke.com. I'm doing a lot of things right now. I'm doing some teaching. I'm doing a lot of writing. I'm meeting with different leaders, helping try to educate them. I'm trying to also meet with political figures and teaching them really some of the arts of politics that we know better in the West. I learned a lot during my campaigns in Louisiana. And I'm glad that I've been able to be successful in helping some people in Eastern Europe get elected, and I hope to have a lot more people that I know get elected. I do think the European visit and that I make constantly talking about these ideas is so valuable to our people, and I think the Syrian visit that I recently made will turn out to be a tremendous plus for our people. Imagine again, ladies and gentlemen, if the United Nations started passing resolutions against Jewish supremacism. The United Nations passed a resolution, the General Assembly, that we should have an investigation, an open investigation as to the truth about the Holocaust, a fair-minded investigation, an open debate on this subject, as we should have a debate on all subjects of history, because that's the basis and essence of freedom. And because the Holocaust has been used as such a weapon, a sword and shield, actually, for Israel, certainly we should be allowed to look at how that tragedy, and there certainly was a tragedy. Many Jews died in that conflict, but also so did many Russians, many Germans, many millions of other peoples. And maybe we should also look into the Zionist role in fomenting the Second World War, and the Zionist role in escalating that war to the point of mass murder, a true Holocaust of millions of people in their homes with their children. You know, we can go into all sorts of things like that. You know, if the people, the Muslim world obviously is overwhelmingly opposed to Israel, and they have a free press in those countries. In those countries, the Jewish supremacists don't control the media. I had complete and total media support in Syria. Complete media support. Kind of amazing, isn't it, for some of those people listening to this broadcast. I also had total support and complete support from every parliamentarian that I visited, every official that I visited in the state, every in that nation, every businessman. It was amazing. It was amazing. And so let's get them the information they need. If they want to destroy the supremacism that threatens them, if they want to defeat Israel, then they need to defeat Israel's domination over the American government and the European governments and the American and European media. They can do that by passing resolutions. You can't have the United Nations pass a resolution, say, wanting free speech on all issues, including Holocaust questions. You can't have the United Nations pass a resolution condemning, say, the Gulag mass murders of that took place, or anything else like that. You can't have that without people talking about it, including in our own nations. And that's the possibility we have. I believe this is going to happen. I believe there will be a huge change of consensus in this world where everybody will be talking about it, and it will come right back to our doorsteps and our own people in the process, and we can begin a process of politically cleansing our nation and get our nations and our governments back in the interest of our own people. That's what the American Constitution was all about. The American Declaration of Independence is about that independence, having America being dedicated to the American people, not even the British, who are our ancestors, our brothers, but to the American people. We certainly, our forefathers would be absolutely appalled at the idea of a foreign country and people with an entirely contrary agenda if they controlled our foreign policy. And of course they're doing that, ladies and gentlemen. They're killing us. I mean, they're literally wiping us out. So don't tell me about the other problems in the world. There are many problems we have, but the problems that Western man faces are those that stem overwhelmingly, primarily, being driven forward by the Jewish supremacists. And that is where our greatest work must be done. And the greatest progress that we can make in exposing Jewish supremacism can be made by openly attacking it. As I said earlier in this broadcast, some of our grandfathers didn't talk about it much. They knew about it because it was more uncomfortable to talk about, for whatever reason. We can't have the luxury right now of comfort. We've got to talk about the major issues facing us. We've got to stand up on these issues. We've got to be courageous about it. We've got to be open about it. And we don't need to alienate other peoples around the world from us. We don't have to compromise on any of our issues for our own nations. But we have to recognize, I believe, the right of other people to have their societies in their own image and their own values, just as we do. That's a just position. No one can really disagree with the justice of that position. Maybe some twisted Jewish supremacist who tries to figure out some way to condemn it. But the average person around the world will not condemn such a program and policy. And it gives us and affords us an opportunity to really begin to make way for the preservation of our own people and our own freedom. Well, again, thank you so much for being with me. Please take some of these posts, spread them around the internet. Go to the interesting link I gave you for the Arab, this huge Arab website that's starting to run my articles. And you're going to see a lot more of that, I promise you. I believe very strongly that in the next 2 to 3 years, that Jewish supremacism and my awakening will be in the many millions of copies in so many of these countries around the world. And you're going to find more discussion on the national level, more just like the gentleman in Malaysia came out. You're going to find more and more and more of those kinds of people around the world, and you're going to see a huge difference taking place. Okay, that's about it. And again, I wish you all well. And please take your fingers after this program, use them on the keyboard, put some links out. Our visitor rate went up 3 times in the last couple of days. And all over the world, people are listening to this website, listening to this broadcast, reading these articles. They're getting educated, and they're learning about the true and greatest threat, not only to the European mankind, but to all people on this planet. Thanks so much, and I certainly look forward to being with you tomorrow.
This has been David Duke for our heritage and our freedom.